Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to focus just in on one verse, but let me read to you the prayer that Paul prayed for those at the church at Ephesus way back when. He said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp just how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And then we come to these verses, and the next one's the key for this morning. "Now to him," light of all of that, "now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever." Amen. I mean, that is a doxology, isn't it? That's worth praising the Lord for. In and of itself, it is sufficient. And I know this morning, as we draw our little series, Sensing Our Saviour, to a close, partly I'm sad. Say, Sean looks a bit sad up there this morning. I'm sad because we're coming to the end of a series, you know, where I don't think in the 5 years that I've been, I don't think I've enjoyed preparing a series so much as the one that I've prepared in this, because, you know, I've sensed the Lord saying things to my life that I've been just jolly grateful for. So I'm a little bit sad, but I'm greatly overwhelmed. I know that what I'm going to speak about, and that I'm going to try and reduce it as much as I can, but I know that what I'm going to speak about is far above and beyond my ability to be able to deal with, because I'm in awe of the awesomeness of the God that this verse speaks to us about. It overwhelms me, but at the same time, it blesses me. So I don't know if we've got the pictures up there, ready to go, Sensing Our Saviour. There we go. That's the theme slide. But isn't that a great verse? "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us." How great is our God indeed. And it's my hope that this truth that's been at the hub of every message that I've tried to deliver is one that we can more and more take to our hearts, because its focus has always been on the thought that the Spirit of him, that awesome God, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in us. Isn't that encouraging? And so I've given a title to our final talk that I've called Dreaming in the Spirit, which I think might be well appropriate if you're one of those that goes off to sleep during the message. You couldn't get a more appropriate title than that, could you? Dreaming in the Spirit. That's not dreaming in the church, by the way. You know, and I call it that because what I want to talk about is not something that's to be determined by the size of our dreams, but something that ought to be determined by the size of our God, who according to his power is at work within us. What a lovely thought. And so here's the thought to treasure. If I can reduce such a big thing down to such a little sentence, take nothing else away, take this away with you. Dream a dream so big, only God can fulfill it. Hey? And I'm going to tell you, and we'll get to it at the end, if you can get there, you can dream a dream so big, only God can fulfill it. I tell you what, you're going to be dreaming in the Spirit. Amen? So you think about that as we go through. If I can make my own dreams come true, then I promise you, I'm not dreaming big enough for God. That much I do know. I don't want a Homer Simpson type dream life, do you? When even in his dreams, he can dream no bigger than being asleep dreaming. What kind of ambition is that? I want God-sized dreams that stretch me so much to the point of my discomfort that there can be no doubt that this dream is God-sized. And I say that because I believe that God meets us at the level of our expectation. That's why we need to be dreaming in the Spirit. Do you remember the Lord Jesus? One of the great sadnesses of his ministry is that when he went into his hometown of Nazareth, he couldn't do in his hometown what he'd been doing elsewhere, because the people that he came to had little faith and had so low an expectation of what they believed he could do. Isn't that sad? To think that the Lord could be in this place and meet a people of little faith and low expectation. We got to dream big. Because however big our dreams, they're never bigger than the Lord who would seek to honor them. I think of those disciples that were so discouraged when Jesus had just told them he was going to be leaving them. And immediately they felt their limitation, and they felt anything but expectant in light of the fact Jesus said, I'm about to leave you. But then Jesus said this, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these. Raise your expectation, guys. You've been around me for 3 years. You've seen what I've been about. You've seen what I've been able to do. Raise your expectations. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. What happened when Jesus went to the Father? When he sat down with the job done at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit was sent forth into our hearts and lives. And because the Spirit of who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, guess what? We can do great works. We can dream God-sized dreams. Because we've got a good imagination? No, because we've got a great God. Dreaming in the Spirit. Can I ask you, as I've asked myself this week, how expectant are you of what God can do? Jesus said, ask, and it will be given you. He said, seek, and you will find. He said, knock. And he didn't say, I'm going to put a bolt against the door. He said, the door will be opened unto you. Are we an asking people? Are we a seeking people? Are we a knocking people? Are we a dreaming people in the Spirit? Because we know that God wants to answer us. I tell you, if we expect little from God, we'll get little from God. If we expect great things from God, we're going to get great things from God, because we get exactly what we come expecting to get. That's why as a boy in church, I got nothing out of a service. Because I never came expecting to get anything other than to play bingo with the hymn numbers. I'm always appreciative. We've lost hymn numbers now. You know, they didn't used to give out information sheets, bingo cards as kids. We used to take them in. Not much of an ambition there, is it? But for us who are dreaming in the Spirit, we become expectant of what God can do, because we know that God meets us at the level of our expectation. So we need to be dreaming in the Spirit. And the big question is this, therefore, how do we know if we're dreaming in the Spirit or we're just in dreamland? Well, let me underline from that one verse just three things that cross my mind that I hope will help you to be able to dream in the right way. First of all, I'm going to suggest that dreaming in the Spirit has to have as its foundation God's glory. If you want to know whether the dream you've got is from God and in the Spirit, ask yourself this, is it to God's glory? Do you see how Paul begins this verse in verse 20? He says, now to him. Isn't that great? He says, now to him. Not to me, not to you. This is not a Chuckle Brothers exposition of Ephesians 3:20. To him, to the glory of God. All that we have, all that we can ask, all that we can expect, all that we can dream is not about us. It is about Him. So Paul finishes this doxology in the next verse by saying, if we miss the point, to Him be glory in the church. We are the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. As Isaiah says, we were created for God's glory. We are to live in such a way, says Paul to the church in Corinth, who were hardly living this way. But he said, so whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. Or to put it in a context that we might find easy to understand, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're at school gate, whether we're behind the wheel in our car or at rest, we do it all for the glory of God. If what we do is not for the glory of God, whatever our dream, it's not a dream in the spirit. It's got to be for His glory, because He's worth it. And He's glorious, isn't He? Oh, what a Saviour. What a Lord. I don't know what your dream is. I know this much. My dream's not to become the greatest preacher or the greatest husband or the greatest grandfather. My dream is to please the Lord in how I am as a preacher or a father or as a husband or as a pastor or as a grandfather. Not to make a name for myself, but I hopefully to honour His name in what I do. Do you know, I was thinking about this, and honestly, I believe before the Lord it's true in my own heart, and only He will know. I'd rather be a poor preacher, faithful to God's word, than a popular preacher that is disrespectful of God's word. Though my dream, of course, is that I hope those two will not be enemies. And I know that you're hoping and dreaming that too, that one day I'll get there. But nonetheless, that's the case. Why did that one world society fall along with the Tower of Babel that it built? Because when you read Genesis, it says the people were trying to make a name for themselves. Why, in contrast to that, did Jesus say of John the Baptist he was the greatest born of woman? Simply because John had the attitude of heart, I must decrease. I must get less, and He must become more. He must increase. To Him be the glory. Isn't that marvelous? I want to see us all dreaming in the Spirit here at Shirley Baptist, as we were thinking yesterday, as whole life disciples of the Lord Jesus. So please, let's not miss the point that everything can be done to the glory of God. I can clean the church or not for the glory of God. I can play an instrument or not for the glory of God. I can share my story or not for the glory of God. I can drive my car or not to the glory of God. I can watch or play my sports or not for the glory of God. And so when we do what we already do for the glory of God, here's the point. What are we doing? We're laying a foundation for a dream that is God-sized. Any dream that causes us to love God more brings glory to God, doesn't it? Any dream that causes us to trust God more brings glory to God. Any dream that causes us to obey Him more, to serve Him more, to brag on Him more in the company of other people and tell them, as the woman at the well said to her community, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. It brings glory to God. And in this sense, can I suggest a dream from God doesn't drive us so much as it draws us. It pulls us in rather than it pushes us on, because the impetus is from the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead within us, and not a motivation from anything outside of us to take the credit when it's God we want to have the glory. Let's dream big, hey? Let's dream God-sized dreams that only He can fulfill. And if you want to know whether it's the right dream or not, then I think that's the first test for us, don't you think? It's to Him and you're laying a foundation for God's glory. And I just will say this before we move on. Nothing glorifies God more than someone who comes and puts their trust in Him, believes Him for salvation in every tense of the word, forgiveness for the wrongs that have been done, fullness of life for what is still to be done, and the forever security in the hope of what is still to come. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, then your dream starts. Just come to Him. And I promise you, you're laying a foundation for His glory and for your good. Secondly, I think it's another test. Oh, I was going to mention that, but we haven't got time. We'll go on. Secondly, dreaming in the Spirit has as its focus God's greatness. God's greatness. And so that's the second thing that I want to get to. Because Paul goes on to say, now to Him, what? Who is able. Able. Not unable. But to Him who is able. And not just able or barely able either, but beyond able, too abundantly able, because He is the God who can do immeasurably more than anything that we ask or imagine. Wow. You say, I'm going to dream in the Spirit. Okay, well, the foundation has got to be God's glory, but the focus has got to be God's greatness. I remember years ago hearing R.T. Kendall tell of one of his predecessors at Westminster Chapel, Campbell Morgan, who had a lady come up to him on one occasion after a message that he'd given, and she said, "Sir, do you think we should pray even the little things in our lives before God, or just the big things?" And Campbell rightly told her, he said, "Madam, before God, is there anything that's big? Is there anything that's big? Oh, we got a great God. How can we not dream in the Spirit and take account and focus on just how great our God truly is? There's nothing that God cannot do that either contradicts His word or His character. God cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot do wrong. He cannot tempt anyone else to do wrong, because that wouldn't be consistent with His character or His word. But this is the God who made the world. And whether you look at the world from under a microscope or through a telescope, His greatness surely is there to be acknowledged, to be applauded, but most of all, to be appropriated. That we start living in light of His greatness and start dreaming in the Spirit because of what He can do and not because of what we can't. To take Him at His word." That was Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 32, you'll have to read all the story yourself when you get home, but it will be a great thing to do after lunch before you fall asleep and you start dreaming. Jeremiah 32 tells the story of a man who's under arrest. He's in prison and the whole nation is in exile. There's a ruling government in power that is not the power that God would want to be there. And Jeremiah, in prison, when everything is going so wrong in his life, buys a farm. He buys a farm, or a field, you know, in the NIV. A farm's better. Farm sounds better than a field, doesn't it? You get more for your money. But he bought this farm. Why did he buy a farm when the land was occupied? Because he was telling the people that he believed in a God who'd promised to restore the land to His people. And so by faith, taking to heart the dream that he had and the promise that he'd been given, he bought the farm to show the people that he was taking God at His word and not living in fear of his present and awful situation. Isn't that right? Have we got that Jeremiah kind of spirit that buys into the truth of more than a farm? But as Jeremiah says himself, nothing is too hard for God. So it's not just that God meets us at the level of our expectation, but that the level of our expectation ought to be measured by God too, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And what do you imagine God to do? What do you ask God to do? Again, you'll have to Google it, but it's wonderful. You know, if you want to be blessed, Google the Hebridean revival that took place in Lewis and Harris back in 1949 and see how God, under the ministry of a man called Duncan Campbell, turned those islands around. By the time the Spirit of God had finished moving in 1953 in Lewis and Harris, there was hardly a person on those islands who hadn't bowed the knee before Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they were doing it, you know, not in a church service. They were doing it out on the fishing boats. They were doing it in the fields. They had to close down the prison because there wasn't any need for a policeman. When you're dreaming in the spirit, you're not dreaming of robbing anything or stealing anything or beating somebody up. Want a single pub left open because nobody was drinking to excess. Now, can you dream for that? For surely, can you? Can you ask for that for surely? Can you pray for that for surely? Yeah, you can, and so can I. But you know, the truth is this, that if that is the height of your dream, measured against the greatness of our God, folks, you're aiming too low. Isn't that the truth of it? Do you see why it just blows my mind? I can't take it in. I can't ever get my head around it. I just have to bow myself before it and say, Lord, woo, when you move, dreams become reality. And God forbid that we're here and we can't see what God's ability is. And you say, well, Sean, if you knew my weakness, if you knew my habit, if you knew my situation, if you knew this and you knew that, you know, come down from there, live in the real world. Look, folks. Is there anything going on in your life that God can't deal with? He's not just the God of creation, he's the God of recreation. He's the one who brought Jesus back from the dead. What is it he can't do in your life when he brought somebody back from the dead? Dreaming in the spirit, the foundation has got to be God's glory. The focus has got to be God's greatness. I thought of the big whale. That's big, isn't it? I thought of the big mountain. That's even bigger. Anybody climb that? Anybody dreaming of climbing that? Edmund Hillary said he climbed it just because it was there. I've never seen that as a good argument myself. And there's the Milky Way. Can't get bigger than that, can you? And the reason I'm telling you, dream a dream so big only God can fulfill it, is because we should never be so impressed by what God has made that we lose the faith to believe in the God who made it. Let me just share as I close. Because this is the bit. I mean, I hadn't written this till about 6 o'clock this morning. But I tell you what, I hope it encourages you as much as it encourages me. Because the final thing that I want to just say this morning as we bring the series to an end, that yes, there's a foundation. If you're dreaming in the spirit, it's for God's glory. There's a focus. It's God's greatness. Measure your situation against what you're confronted with. If David had done that, he'd never take Goliath on. He didn't see how big Goliath was. He saw how big the God was that he served behind him. It was a rigged fight. But the last thing is this. If you're dreaming in the spirit, it has as its force God's grace. And this amazes me because Paul closes this little verse out, doesn't he? According to his power at work within us. What power, what work? This work is a testimony, obviously, of God's saving grace in the past for us. He's already pointed that out to them in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It's by grace through faith we've been saved. And without that grace, we'd still be dead in our sins. But it's also the means of his sustaining grace and his present work in us, without which we'd lack the power to live our dreams. For God empowers his people to live for him. That's why we need the power, isn't it? To do things for his glory, to do things that reflect his greatness. How are we going to do it without his power? And how do we get that power? It's an act of God's grace at work within us through his spirit that ultimately determines our dreams. So whilst we may dream of being, for instance, a teacher, Or we may dream of being a scientist, or an astronaut, or a train driver, or winning the British Open. Don't know where that dream came from. Or of being retired, or as I like to call it, refired. Or even just staying awake for one of my messages. And who's to say that those dreams are not good dreams? And who's to say they're not God-honoring dreams? Not me. But here's the thing. Dreaming in the Spirit has as its force God's grace, which recognizes his work in me. Now please get this. So that more than I am a teacher, more than I am a doctor, more than I'm a high-paid sportsman or driver or anything else, even if it's just simply enjoying my retirement, that is not the end I serve. But rather, that is the means by which I show the world that I am above and beyond all that, and first and foremost to all that, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That's the dream. Not so much what I am doing, because my dream to be whatever it is I want to do, that must not be the end in itself. But the only the means through which I can dream in the Spirit and be the kind of ambassador that God wants me to be in my home as a father, in my workplace as a worker, in the line at the unemployment office where I'm trying to get a job. Because wherever you go and whatever you happen to be doing, if you can't dream in the Spirit there, you're never going to dream in the Spirit anywhere. Amen? You're an ambassador for Christ. Isn't that great? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I remember telling my dad, and I'll close here. I remember telling Dad once that I had a dream of being at the circus, and it was great. And my dad, being my dad, said, well, he had a dream of being given 2 tickets to a Liverpool home game at the Kop End. And he knows I support Liverpool. So I said, Dad, in your dream, did you take me? And he said, no, because you were at the circus. Folks, don't dream of being somewhere else when God wants you in his dream. Dream a dream so big, only God can fulfill it. And I promise you this, whatever your situation, wherever you go tomorrow, and we thought about that a lot, whatever you're doing throughout the week, because that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? That's where what we hear on a Sunday gets tested and either applied or ignored. But if you're dreaming in the Spirit, I want you to know that if you're still here and you've got breath, then God's got a purpose for you. And if it's nothing more than praying, pray. But whatever it is, don't settle for less than what God would bless you with. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than anything that we ask and imagine, to him be the glory. Somebody sent me this. In the end, we only regret the chances we didn't take. So for those of you who have been dreaming in the sermon, wake up and dream big for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the series. Thank you for reminding us that, Lord, we're not working for you. You're working in us. And as you work in us, Lord, it's our delight simply to bring our lives in obedience to you and do whatever it is you'd have us do. Lord, there are folks here that they drive a van or they drive a lorry. Lord, they work on a building site. There are others that go into a school and teach. There's others that heal the needs of the sick. There are others that can't get a job. There are others, Lord, that are training for ministry or whatever. But Lord, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, may we know the infilling of your Holy Spirit so that the outflowing of our lives brings you glory, recognizes your greatness, and just relies on your grace to see the dream fulfilled and to get the job done. Because we want to be no less expectant than you'd have us to be. So, Lord, We offer ourselves and pray now, meet us, meet me, meet this church at the level of our expectancy, so that what we believe you for is genuinely a dream and not a nightmare. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.